This week, we speak to JC and Cody from Punk Rock Saves Lives. They bring Narcan and birth control and testing kits to punk and rock shows. Look out for them if you or someone you know needs something like that at a show. Also, if you have issues with drug and alcohol dependency, reach out. In Florida, there are many groups to reach out to. You can find out about these things through Punk Rock Saves Lives or by messaging the podcast. Welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Hector.
And how, sir, are you doing?
I'm alive. Yeah, I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, wicked. So, why don't you explain the incredible surprise that you brought upon James and I?
Well, it's a little bit of a nerdgasm, I guess. You know? We keep talking about doing Dragon Con. We keep talking about doing a con of any kind. And then I mentioned that I had been to Dragon Con up in Atlanta a few times. And you guys keep saying, you know, like, we should do it. And then we all talk about it. And then we just kind of let it go and do something else. And then yesterday, I was talking to Sergio, the guy staying with me from Colombia, is a friend of mine, an artist friend of mine. And so we were talking about something, and he mentioned how one of the art events that they do there is at a con.
Yeah.
And we started talking about it, and we started talking about cosplay, and I just went down the whole, like, nerd rabbit hole. And I got home, and I thought about it, made me think of Dragon Con. And so I got online, and first and foremost, I realized that apparently Dragon Con takes submissions for bands to play at the con. So I submitted our band, and we'll see what happens. I think the submissions are through the end of this month, and then after that, they'll make a decision a month or two after that. Then I was sitting there and thinking to myself, well, why should I wait to see if they allow us to play? And I bought us tickets to go to Dragon Con.
It's funny, you know, because when I was saying I wanted to be on a con, I wanted to just rob a casino over a really long period of time.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Ocean's 3.
But no, it's super awesome. I'm incredibly excited. I'm letting my nerd flag fly these days. I don't care. Who knows?
So the good news is we have five-day passes to the con.
Yeah.
The bad news is every hotel is sold out, so we may be sleeping in the car.
Oh, interesting. Okay. We could always hire a van.
So we're going to have to figure that one out.
No, it's going to be fun, man. Last night, we played at East Ocean Pub.
We did. That was fun, man. It was a rare opportunity that we got to play with a couple of national acts, actually, touring acts.
Yeah, Yes Ma'am and Littlefoot.
And Littlefoot, yeah. And we did our probably about an hour set, and it was all original stuff, so, like, that's rare for us. We don't get a chance to do that very often, although we just did that the week prior.
Yeah, I think we're getting our steam up with that now.
We did it at Propaganda the week prior, so we're starting to do it more often, which is nice.
It's very nice, and to be honest, you know, it's been a long time coming. It's just difficult because we get offered all these gigs all the time, you know, and you know, the money's nice too.
Sure.
But it's kind of like, you get to a certain point where it's like, well, the reason this is a band isn't so that we can play free-falling to a bunch of people who aren't listening, is it?
No, agreed. And I think going out and doing the original, you know, the original set like that makes it, you know, makes you feel more like a real band than, you know, not that a cover band's not a real band. Don't everybody, like, you know, start writing and telling me that I'm, you know, stupid. But, I don't know. You just get that more that sense of like, yeah, you know, this was a show. Like, people were watching. Like, it was a concert. It wasn't just background music. You know?
A good example of that is that guy last week who came up to me after the show, and we'd been playing a lot of our originals, and he looked at me and said, "Your lyrics matter," which is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Maybe
right.
The fact that he said that in that moment. That's why playing your own music is better. Yeah, you know, because you have an opportunity to make it. Bit of a dent on something, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man.
So I think that's what we did over the weekend. And we have some very, very special guests. We have JC Ortiz and Cody Hull from Punk Rock Saves Lives. How's it going?
Hello. Evening. We're here.
I think you all should play Muddy Roots with Yes Ma'am and Littlefoot.
They've seen us play now, so maybe they'll put in a good word.
Yeah, South Florida chapter of Punk Rock Saves Lives is here, man. We're happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you very
excited,
much.
Man.
It's our pleasure. Do you want to just start off with a general overview of what Punk Rock Saves Lives is?
Sure, yeah. So Punk Rock Saves Lives is a national nonprofit organization. They were founded in 2019 in Denver, Colorado. Shout out to Tina and Rob Rushing. They're our co-directors and founders of the nonprofit. Yep, chickens. But yeah, they were born out of Love, Hope, Strength, which was a separate organization that they had prior to COVID. Punk Rock Saves Lives, in a nutshell, stands on, you know, three main principles. Number one is signing people up for the National Bone Marrow Donor Registry to fight against blood cancer. And different kinds of blood cancers, like leukemias, things like that. Right, exactly. Secondary to that is the harm reduction efforts that Punk Rock Saves Lives does on a national level, which is everything free to the public, doses of Narcan, fentanyl test strips, you know, all kinds of different things.
Drink testers.
Yeah, like drink condoms, testers, earplugs, you know, all kinds of different stuff that are 100% free to anybody that feels like they need them, which I think is interesting too. You know, 99.999% of people that come to the table and take stuff from the harm reduction box, it's never for them. It's always for a loved one. It's always for somebody that they know that might have a substance abuse disorder or that they know for sure, you know. So it's, you know, I think it was interesting you say, you know, somebody came up to you and said, you know, that your lyrics matter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really important because we see that a lot too at shows that we go to and you know, chapters around the country see that too, is that people come up and they say that, you know, your work matters, the things that you're doing matters. So just, you know, it's, I don't know if self-serving is the right word, but you know that you feel like you're doing something good.
Feel like
good
you're giving
you
something of value.
Right, yeah, you know, you feel like you're doing something
you're
good.
You're making when, a difference,
man. Right, you're exactly, making a difference, exactly, yeah. You know, so it's super cool for us.
So how did you guys find yourselves associated with Punk Rock Saves Lives? Why don't we start with you, JC, and then we'll go to...
Yeah, so I knew about Punk Rock Saves Lives for a while, just seeing them on Instagram and, you know, different things. Was bothering them about trying to volunteer for events and things like that. We could never quite line things up because they're from Colorado. They're always on national tours. And we know how it is in South Florida. We don't see a lot of those national...
Bands never get down
it's
this
tough,
far.
Right? Yeah. It's tough, right? It's tough. You know, it's what, 8.5 hours across...
Yeah,
you know,
my wife and my daughter just flew up to New Jersey to see a band my daughter wanted to see because they just don't come down here.
right, exactly. You know, it just doesn't happen often. You know, and when you do, you like to take advantage of it, you know. So last year, I think, what was this, March of last year?
Yeah.
Punk Rock Saves Lives was on the national tour with Bouncing Souls, and they came down to Culture Room.
Hence the patch in the back.
Yeah, right, exactly. That was from that show.
Cool.
That was our first, you know, my first time finally volunteering with them. That's where I met, you know, my right-hand Cody. And, you know, it was a kind of funny story with that, too, because... We had talked at that show about how we were going to continue going to shows and we're going to do all this great stuff. And then we didn't speak again for the better part of a year or something like that after that show. Yeah, it was something like that. And then we found out that Punk Rock Saves Lives was going to be opening up more chapters starting calendar year of 2024. I had hounded Tina for, you know, probably about 6 months or something at that point. And, you know, finally kind of beat her down to the point where she was like, yeah, I would love for you guys to open a chapter. And there was nobody else that, you know, I wanted to start it with. Cody was the first person that popped into my head, you know.
And kept trying to throw like, hey, you should be the lead. You should be the lead. And we didn't want, you know, that this co thing came out of it because of that experience. And I couldn't be more lucky to work with this gentleman here. And
likewise.
We were waiting on Tina and Rob to come down with tours. And we were like, let's try to do this ourselves. And,
that's cool. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, man. You just got to keep poking.
That's it. You know, I think that, you know, they saw how serious we were because, you know, we were such fans of their mission nationally, you know, on a whole, just from the .org, from, you know, the harm reduction aspects, the mental health aspects and all their mental health resources and things.
It means a lot to me that we have you on the show. My life has just been riddled with issues that, you know, this could have helped and you know, family members and friends have all had a lot of problems with drugs and it's been a huge drain, you know, I've had a problem with alcohol and 4 years sober and it's just, I tell you what, it's just, you know, it's dangerous out there, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and, it really and it's nice to know that there's people who, you know, you have people's back. I mean, I'm just so impressed with what you do already.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we get people on here all the time, and we're one of the questions that we ask, and it all depends on who's comfortable talking about it or you know, who's comfortable answering it, but we ask them, you know, like, how do you, you know, as a musician, you're out there, you know, whether you're playing locally or you're touring or whatever it is you're doing, how do you navigate that world of, you know, drugs and alcohol?
Sure.
And you know, you get all sorts of answers. You know, you get from, well, I don't navigate it. I just enjoy it.
I just go for it. Right. I'm along
for the
ride.
All the way to, you know, like Ben, who's, you know, a recovering alcoholic and stuff. And then there's all the ones in between. They're like, man, I really try.
Sure.
And I really try not to, but sometimes it's hard or whatever.
Sure.
It's hard. I mean, like, you know, I hate to say that, you know, it's synonymous with being a musician, but it's an unfortunate reality. You know, my son, he's in the control booth now listening to the show. And like, you know, he's in a punk rock band and they just started touring and doing stuff like that. And, you know, he's got a good head on his shoulders and I trust him and everything.
Sure.
But of course, it's something I worry about,
you
know, as a parent, it's something you worry about.
Yeah, of course,
and so, I love what you guys are doing. Like, I appreciate that.
You know, we had talked about that earlier as a parent myself. You know, I'm a father of five and, you know, older kids now. My oldest, you know, daughter is 25 and she's off doing things. But just, you know, there's always that worry, you know, of them going out and, you know, experimenting with things like we did when we were younger and at those ages and things like that. And, you know,
so
it's a hard
tell
life
me a little
too.
Bit.
Like, like, just like, I mean, Prince, like, literally OD'd on pills because he was using his hips so damn much for all those shows, all those years, and the pain got to him. And then eventually, like, got dosed too much and passed away.
Right.
Like,
we've lost a lot of stars in the last few years due not necessarily like a drug overdose of like, hey, I was shooting up heroin, but a drug overdose like that.
Yeah,
where
they
were using it for pain management or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Seems like fentanyl is just so lethal, and it's just unbelievably lethal. I've had brushes with it myself and a lot of my friends and again family as well. And it's at one point in time, it seemed like you'd hear that someone died like once a month or something like that.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just happening all the time.
Well, I mean, that goes to that, you know, that the yearly numbers. If you look at the numbers, it's pretty alarming. You're talking about upwards of 196,000 deaths due to overdose a year. And that's that's a crazy
now
number.
Is that worldwide or is that just the U.S. or what is that?
That's just U.S.
Yeah, that's U.S.
That's just the U.S.
That's U.S.
Wow,
that's U.S.,
that's
which is incredible. You think about that, it's incredible.
And probably undercounted.
You know, it's so sad,
it.
Right. And
no doubt it's undercounted. And it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it isn't happening in my life quite so much right now because most of the people I know, you know, aren't in that situation.
Sure.
But, you know, a few years ago, it was just people I knew were just dying constantly.
Yeah.
You know, it's all going on, you know?
Yeah.
And I sometimes play, I'll work at rehabs and treatment facilities playing music for people. And, you know, but I'll be there talking with my friend and, you know, we'll be talking about someone and then, you know, he'll come to me like a month later and be like, oh, you know, she died. You know,
right.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nonstop.
You know, there's some of my best friends from, you know, the punk scene growing up, you know, when I was younger here, when I first got here from Chicago, have unfortunately passed away because of, you know, opioid. And not only that, but, you know, brothers from military life and things like that, all opioids. And
we were the pill mill center of the country and the hemisphere for a long while, too.
Yeah.
So,
we were talking before the show and I was talking about how I've got a family member that's like literally on the streets right now and has been like that since he was 15. And then one that I didn't mention was my wife's nephew. He passed away and it was from something like that where he did the drug like one time like that day and passed away because it was laced with something.
Yeah.
But I know you guys have, you know, I know you guys have a ton of different things, and usually Ben's the one who's doing all the talking, but this just all fascinates me, so.
No, please do, because I'm a little overwhelmed if I'm honest with you.
I know you guys have, you know, like you said, there's like a couple of different things you guys do with Punk Rock Saves Lives, so let's, you know, in the interest of time and not making this a five-hour episode, as much as I want to dive into every aspect of this.
Part two next week.
Yeah, let's dissect this a little bit. Let's start with the bone marrow registry.
Yeah.
Explain a little bit about that. We were talking earlier how you were saying there was was like 20% versus 80% of how you donate and stuff. So why don't you touch a little bit about that and get people familiar with that?
Sure, yeah, we could definitely. So Punk Rock Saves Lives is partnered nationally with DKMS, which is the largest, internationally, thank you.
Okay.
With DKMS, which is the largest bone marrow donor registry worldwide. So what we do, or what every chapter does around the country, first off, is signing people up for the National Bone Marrow Donor Registry, which is a really simple process. It's 3 swabs, 3 minutes inside of the mouth. We send that paperwork off to DKMS. Once those swabs are complete, they fill out a small paperwork. Within the course of a few weeks or maybe a month or so, that person that got the swab will get an email saying that they're on the registry. At that point, you're on the registry until 55,
I believe.
On the registry until you're 55 years old.
Just out of curiosity, is there anything that would preclude you from it? Like, is there anything that would mean that you couldn't be on it?
There's actually quite extensive list.
And then we have a list of things. Like, if you have blood diseases, that's probably for just diabetes, then like kidney or liver disease, like if you've had a significant like head injury and there's prevalent factors after that, like so there that we have a list that if you're not eligible certainly love the support. And like there's like about 24 combinations of blood that we could donate blood, but it's like 1 in 5,000 people are a match for bone marrow.
So that's why trying
to get those matches, because even if we get a match, then getting that match to get to that location and donate to a person,
it becomes a challenge. People are a match for bone marrow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's amazing to think like it takes thousands of people to like just find that right person for this. And even in your family, there's a lot of you're not eligible to be a donor. So that's why we try to do this.
So explain to us a little bit about how, so, people can sign up for the registry. You're on the registry. It could be next week. It could be 10 years from now. And actually, let me back up for a second. You said you can be on the registry until you're 55.
So you're 55.
Okay, so
correct.
Myself, for example, I'm going to be 53 this year. If I were to sign up for the registry, I'm only eligible for like 2 or 3 years.
That's correct. Yeah.
So then, like you said, they could never match you, or they can match you a week from now, or they can match you 10 years from now.
Correct.
What happens at that point? You know, if you're a match.
Yeah. So once you are matched, DKMS takes care of everything from travel expenses, room and board, all that stuff while you're going to make your donation. And there's 2 routes
to donation.
You know, 20% of the time is through actual bone marrow, the traditional quote unquote, which, you know, drilling into the hip and extracting that bone marrow directly from the bone.
Yeah, which sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great experience, you know. But because technology has changed and has advanced, what they try to do more is, you know, that other 80% is through platelet gathering of your bone marrow, you know, which is very similar to donating plasma.
Gotcha.
You know, very similar to donating plasma. So it's a lot less intrusive, a lot less scary, a lot less intimidating for the actual donor.
Both single day, like one you do have to go under for the anesthesia, both are a single day. Both are single day. Extremely recoverable.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, and you are literally saving a life that would not be able to continue without this.
Correct. So with one of the versions of it being almost like a platelet or a blood plasma type situation, is there an initiative, or is there a reason why they couldn't do it like blood donations, where they like anybody could just donate bone marrow and have it sitting somewhere waiting? Or is it not like blood, where it would have maybe too short of a shelf life or something?
But probably,
it's the shelf life. It's the uniqueness with the donors itself. Sure.
Yeah,
so like,
it's very much a patient by patient, case by case.
It's not just like O negative or something.
Right.
So you need to have the living donor who can be called upon.
Correct.
I mean, this is where leukemia, besides heart disease, is in like the fastest growing cancer, and you can go through a lot of different ways, but a lot of pesticide things seems to be attributed to a lot of leukemia things. But it's one of those, like, if kidney, if you don't have a kidney, you can be on kidney dialysis and survive. Without this, you will literally, there's only so much mitigation they can do without finding a donor.
Sure.
Yeah. And this is mostly, bone marrow is mostly for the donations or the matches with people and stuff is mostly for cancer situations?
Like
different types of blood cancers for different or something?
Types of blood cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So now let's move on to the...
Oh, yeah, you have a good question about there was something that you were thinking about with the Narcan. Worth bringing up.
Yeah, well, I keep wanting to call it a safety kit. What do you guys call it?
it's our harm reduction box.
It is
a safety kit.
Sure. Yeah. So we were talking earlier about the harm reduction box, and you know, you were going through, and there's all these different compartments in there, and
sure.
There's all sorts of really cool stuff in there, you can open up and show people, you know, all sorts of stuff. In there, that's just everything from condoms and Narcan to earplugs to pregnancy tests.
And that's a little box with fucks in it.
Free
fucks given here.
If you give, if you run out of fucks to give, then we have plenty to hand out to you.
Which is probably the best part of that box, to be honest.
It's pretty sweet.
But so everything in this box, as far as I'm concerned, is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I don't condone drug use, but people are going to do it. And so like having the Narcan on hand, stuff like that, it makes sense.
Sure.
It makes sense. Yeah. I see it at the drugstore all the time. And my first reaction was like, have we gotten here to a society where we need to just have it on hand? And, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then the second reaction was like, yeah, it's probably not a bad idea to have it in your first aid kit.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But where I struggled a little bit, and again, this is, like I said earlier, we were talking, like, this is not a down on you guys or anything. Struggle a little bit as a parent is, you guys have, like the fentanyl test strips in there to make sure that your drugs are safe. And, of course, as a parent, I'm like, well, just don't do drugs.
Right.
But I guess I have to be realistic and say, realize that that's just not an option for some people. Some people are in that, and maybe they want to get out of it, and they can't.
Correct.
But at least they're being safe about it.
Correct.
I don't know.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we had spoke about that earlier. There's that little bit of a gray area though, because we've had that question before.
I'm sure you have.
And it's like I said before, if you're in need of that kind of thing, because, of course we're not condoning.
Sure.
Partying, and hey, check out this stuff in our harm reduction box, and you can make sure that you're doing drugs safely, right? If you're have some kind of substance abuse problem or disorder, or even even if you don't, and you're just a quote unquote casual user, or however you want to call it, if there's something that we can provide to make sure that you're a little bit more safer, it's not up to me or Cody or anybody to say, oh, you shouldn't be doing this.
Sure.
But if you're choosing to do it, then maybe this is a little bit option for you to do that a little bit safely, a little bit safer.
And
then,
and like I said, like I where I struggled with it was it kind of, as a parent, it just kind of feels like you're giving, some people a license to do it. But I 100% understand that you're not condoning it.
Right.
But you're also not preaching to people. And so you're basically saying, look, I get it. You're going to do it. And I can't stop you from doing that.
Right.
Be safe.
I was thinking about it, Hector, after you mentioned that earlier, and just something that I was thinking about with it was like, it's like the opposite of out of sight, out of mind. It's like the fact that it is there makes you think about it, and thinking about it is uncomfortable.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Just from when we were talking out in the hallway when we were setting up and stuff to now, and again, as a parent, I still have this thought or whatever.
Sure.
But I suppose, to some degree, it's no different than me thinking to myself, well, these kids are going to have sex. They might as well have condoms. Be safe.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's, at a different level, but it's the same thing, essentially.
If you're thinking harm reduction or, making sure that your kids are safe.
You're going to do it.
Right.
At least be safe about it.
They have condoms in there.
Which they
do. Right. Which we also have condoms available.
Have some morning after stuff, too. It's like the... the test strips are like with the naloxone and the Narcan, that's reactionary to someone having an overdose.
Right.
Like this is to prevent that from starting, just like, I guess, the condoms and that, to prevent that situation from necessitating.
Right. Sure.
Like,
gotcha.
You know, but then with that harm reduction stuff, there's other, of course, those are the bigger things that people see. They see the Narcan and they see the Plan B and that, you know, they see that kind of things. But I mean, there's, you know, earplugs are harm reduction, you know, tampons are harm reduction, you know, or just any kind of thing that shows that we can give out of people they need, you know, that they're in an immediate need of. Drink test strips. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different, you know, so
in a
many
place where there's
options,
so many things that are harmful, it's nice to have like at least something out there that's kind of going the other direction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fall in the pit, pick you up kind of mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think every chapter around the country, you know, that's operated under Punk Rock Saves Lives has this same exact harm reduction box the same makeup in it, the same initial makeup in it, and then they can add anything that they want to that box to kind of tailor it to their own communities.
You know,
around the country.
I think you should add puppies to that box because, you know, that helps people.
Yeah, who doesn't need a good puppy?
I'm just saying.
It's like when Cody hands out, you know, bubbles and stuff at shows, which
the
is
rubber chicken. It's surprising, right? Because with them, like, I have these for you guys, by the way,
You better.
He hands out, you know, bubbles and rubber chickens at shows because that goes towards our mental health, you know, initiatives for Punk Rock Saves Lives as well. You know, we always direct people to the .org that has plenty of mental health resources and, you know, things like that on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can ask you to find me anybody, and you wouldn't be able to do it, find me anybody that can be angry and either squeezing one of those rubber chickens at the same time or being angry and blowing bubbles at the same
time.
Maybe
smile as soon as
you'll never find it.
Ben's going to bring one of these. He's going to bring that to every show now. And whenever I start getting cranky, he's just going to go squeak, squeak.
If you're at any show and you see bubbles flying or you hear rubber chickens going off somewhere or a combination of both, 9 out of 10 times we're there.
I love it.
You know, 9 out of 10 times we're there.
This lovely studio and equipment, I will not blow bubbles in here.
Cody promised not to blow bubbles all around the studio today, but we do have chickens in
these mass. Wonderful hosts. Yeah.
So,
thank you.
So I love bubbles, but I got to tell you a quick bubble story.
Send it.
We're South Floridians and we've lived here our entire lives.
Sure.
And so, you know, our family has the Disney passes and stuff. And so every once in a while we go up. And I was up there. I did just like a father-son afternoon day or whatever with my son. He's like, Dad, you know, let's go to Disney. I'm like, okay, great. So he drove and everything. We went up.
Oh, sounds fun.
We were walking behind this kid who had one of those bubble guns.
Yeah.
And it's just going. Yeah, it's just constantly shooting. But, and this kid was
Cody?
Right in front of us, just walking with this thing. And it just kept blowing back in my face. And then I'd take a right, and then he'd move. And it'd black my face. And then he'd take a left. And I'm like, I just want to kill this kid right now.
I just want to get away from the bubbles,
but this is obnoxious.
Yeah, it was cool for a couple of seconds. We're walking through a field of bubbles right now.
There is definitely that layer of making sure that I'm not getting into people's face, especially the artists.
There is such thing as too much bubbles, I think, at one point.
Okay, this is a point where I need to chill.
The too much bubbles in my life was when I was like 16 in Ibiza and at a rave. And that is a much sexier story, let me say.
Yeah,
right. Much sexier.
Speaking of bubbles, if you're with you, Dragon Con, I think a trio. I'm seeing the Powerpuff Girls.
We were trying to come up with something yesterday, and our banjo player James says that we should go as mariachis and go as the Three Amigos.
Oh,
I love that.
That'd be
great.
Amazing.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. And Hector speaks Spanish, so we won't get in trouble for going as the Three Amigos.
Ethnically okay.
Wholeheartedly.
I think all the actors were Caucasian too, and that would be
561 Music and 561 Music Festival is sponsored by Steinger Green & Finer. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to tell you how they're helping. So Steinger Green & Finer is the personal injury law firm you can trust to provide the elite representation you deserve. As your trusted personal injury attorneys, you can count on them to fight for your rights from start to finish. They have affordable services. Professional legal aid shouldn't cost a fortune. That's why, with their injury lawyers, you don't pay a penny unless they win your case. The team of personal injury attorneys has the resources and experience needed to litigate with big insurance companies and deliver the results you want, achieving maximum financial compensation to cover the cost of your accident-related injuries and damages, from medical bills and prescription medication to car repairs and lost wages. Whatever type of personal injury case you bring them, their injury lawyer team can handle it. If you can't visit one of their injury lawyer locations, don't sweat it. Their 100% virtual communication options enable them to handle your case without requiring an in-person visit. Getting the justice you deserve has never been easier. To be real, we're incredibly thankful for them because without them, we wouldn't be able to put the festival on. They have sponsored the festival, and it means that we can pay the bands. It means we can afford to advertise the festival so people know it's happening. And really, it just means we can do it. So the fact that they've reached out to us and they're helping out in the community, it means a huge amount to us. And we just want to extend our thanks to them. And it doesn't hurt that they're a great business as well. They are very easy to find online. Just go to www.injurylawyers.com. It's as simple as that. Injurylawyers.com. So you'll be able to find them very easily. You won't be disappointed with their service. They're fantastic. Thank you so much, Steinger Green and Finer. You really have made a difference for us, and you make a difference for a lot of people every day. Backsaver LLC Therapy is located in West Palm Beach, Florida, providing chiropractic care, massage therapy, and physical therapy. They are 561 Music sponsors, and they're helping us put this festival on. We couldn't be more grateful for them. They've done it before, and it's just a huge help. So if you have anything going on with your back in general, and you need some chiropracting done, I don't know if that's how you say it, chiropracting. If you need a chiropractor, you could do a lot worse than Backsaver. They're absolutely a fantastic company. I know Hector's had some work done by them, and they do a fantastic job. If you've been hurt in a slip and fall accident, Backsaver LLC will help you with your injuries. The worst thing about slip and fall accidents is you never see them coming. The slip and fall itself can be frightening, and the injury sustained can be detrimental. If you twist and fall in a bad or awkward position, your body will suffer the consequences. Injuries sustained in a slip and fall accident can be quite costly when it comes to paying medical professionals for treatments and pain relief. Backsaver LLC in West Palm Beach works to help patients recover quickly, physically, and also financially. It's one of those things that when you need it, you really need it. And if you don't think you need it, maybe you do. They're incredibly kind to sponsor the festival. Like I said before, we need all the help we can get putting this thing on. So thank you so much for sponsoring it and helping us with this podcast. We're just trying to bring local music to local people and build up the scene around here. And Backsaver's helping us do it. So thank you so much, guys. Give them a call today at 561-684-8774. That's 561-684-8774. Root. Now, Oasis Root Carver Bar is in Seagrape Square on Indian Town Road. And it is a carver bar. If you don't know anything about carver, it's a Polynesian root that you grind up and you mix with water. And it has been in Polynesia for potentially thousands of years. It's an old thing that they used for kind of ceremonial and also sort of leisure purposes. It's meant to be something where, you know, that brings people together. You all take a shell of carver and chink them together and say bula and have it together like that. It's meant to be something to bring people together. It's has a kind of an effect, which is, I guess, a kind of a slightly warming effect, and it just kind of makes you feel a nice. It's not particularly intoxicating. It's not like drinking alcohol. So the atmosphere in a carver bar is sort of like a cross between a regular bar and a coffee house. It's pretty chill in there. You get all sorts of different types of carver bars. Some of them are more like a club, you know, there's sort of like black light and EDM playing, and some of them are more like a cafe. This is one of the cafe type of ones. It's super chill in there. If you're looking for somewhere to, I don't know, maybe go and do some work on your laptop or go and have a chat with friends, it's perfect for that kind of thing. There's a foosball table in there if that's your jam, or baby foot as they call it in France. And Jim, the owner, is a really cool guy, and he has very kindly sponsored our podcast. So thank you very, very much for that, Jim. They also do a poker night in there, all sorts of things going on at Oasis Root Carver Bar. 561 Music is sponsored by Live Music Community.
It's where we film the podcast that you're listening to right now, and it's also where I work. Gavin, Hector's son, was a student here for a long time, and in many ways he's the musician he is today because of the teachers at Live Music Community. We taught him not only about his instrument, but also about being in a band, and his band, Unemployed Youth, accomplished a lot of goals, mostly band etiquette, how to work together, and all of the nitty-gritty that goes into being in a band on a day-to-day basis. The student signs up for lessons, learns their instrument, joins a real band, and decides the direction it goes in. And we can take people from very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, all the way up to 80. You know, there's no age limit here. We've run an adult program for people who want to be in a band as adults. But really, the main focus is on the kids and getting them playing together and in bands. We are also a studio, a live stream venue. We can record audio or video. The Killbillies live album, Warts and All, was recorded here. It was recorded during a live stream that we did during COVID. Justin had a great idea to record live streams during COVID. A ton of bands came in and it was a real success. Outside of that, we can record albums. We can help you with your EPK. And we have full audio-visual capabilities here. LMC is in Palm Beach Gardens on the northwest corner of Military Trail and North Lake Boulevard. And if you go to livemusiccommunity.com, you have all the information you'll need right there.
How did you guys get into punk? You both punk rockers before all of this?
I think our church was Churchill's.
I'm born and raised.
I cut
my teeth at Churchill's
in
for sure.
South Florida. Nice. I did leave for a career in Massachusetts and California for 10 years. Yeah. But like I did my foundational life growing up here.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
and, okay.
So yeah, Churchill's was the spot, I guess, at high school.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Then, like funny enough, you know, like what with me, I moved here from Chicago when I think I was 12 at the time. Somebody can figure that out for me. I think I was about 12. And, you know, growing up in Chicago, I was always listening to house music and, sure, you know, hip hop and stuff like that. Had never thought about, you know, punk rock at all. And I was pretty, you know, loner when I came down to Florida. Right. Didn't know anybody, you know, foreign kid in a foreign land. Sure. Florida, South Florida is a completely different place.
That's what punk rock
is for. Well, yeah, right. Exactly. Right. And that's, you know, going to Deerfield Beach High School for freshman year. And, you know, kind of being that kind of outcast kid, because Florida's a totally different place. If you grow, you know, you grow up in a big city or you're used to big cities, Florida's just its own separate ecosystem in South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, so being here by myself, I gravitated towards, you know, the other loner kids, which happened to be, you know, the punk rock kids.
Sure.
You know, and then, you know, they're taking me to shows and you know, and things like that. And then it just became, you know,
a lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, a lifestyle of really, you know, linking on with a community of like-minded kids.
Sure,
you know,
man,
that we're all going through the same things and we're all listening to the same kind of music and we're all there for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and those are still some of my best friends to this day.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
35 some odd years later.
You know, I think that this is kind of leads directly into that. I think anyone listening to this will know this, but you know, the fact that punk as a thing is so much bigger than the music.
Absolutely.
It's a community.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a family, you know, everyone looks out for each other, looks after each other, you know, knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a big community like that, from, you know, the venues to the bands, to the people who come, and everyone's got interlinked in this wonderful way. You know,
absolutely.
Punk's cool. I mean, when at its best, it's
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When at its best is a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what show are you guys going to be at next?
What do we got coming up next? I know March 23rd, we're doing a Pop Swap. Yeah, that'll be the next table and event.
And then 561 Fest also happening that day, by the way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We'll
get you guys in on some of our other events for sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Because this is awesome.
Yeah, we'll do, you know, we appreciate it.
And how do you, how busy do you try and stay with it?
This is where we're in this new frontier of what we could do.
Yeah.
JC's been showing up like to much more events than I have.
Yeah,
because he's
propaganda is quickly becoming like a second home for us. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You know, really well received there. We were there for Stop the Presses, co-defendants a couple of weeks ago, you know, two nights in a row, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
You know, I think we'd spent 3 Fridays in a row there.
How do you stay visible when you're in the venue?
Just setting up our table.
By the merch, or if they want to stick us outside and we're not obstructing too many things. So yeah.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
And if I'm notorious for bringing too much shit. And I think it does add to things, but I'm always late because of it. But he could literally deploy out of a suitcase. Like he could, just be standing there and do it.
I'm almost ready to roll at all times. Like it's just kind of, I'm just kind of prepared. I'm like a Boy Scout.
Feel like that's your military there.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct.
You're just used to being ready.
I'm just ready to go. Yeah, I'm just ready to go. That's funny. I think even that Stop the Presses show a couple of weeks ago at Propaganda, that came about very quickly, mm-hmm. Very quickly. And the last show that we did at Matthew's Brewery as well, I think we had got the message confirmation the morning of the show that, hey, you guys are welcome to set up a table if you want to. And that's when I called Cody and I was like, yo, I'm rolling. Cody had something going on, but I was like, that's fine. I was on the road within 45 minutes from not having anything in the car to getting ready to activate.
Where are you based again?
I'm in Coral Springs.
And I'm in Sunrise.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys pretty much do like all of South Florida keep it. Yeah. Okay.
That's our goal. Yeah. And and the rest of Florida when things come about, like want to be a present at like hopefully Fast, hopefully some other things as well.
There's some other stuff that's in the works, so to speak. We do have a Central Florida chapter that just flagged their chapter. What about a month ago?
Yeah.
That. And their just started getting active in the Orlando area
too. Yeah. Yeah.
How much communication is there between the chapters?
Oh, tons.
Yeah. A lot. We got our group, beyond Rob and Tina, because they were doing it nationally just themselves and getting volunteers from everywhere. Like when I lived in Southern California, I did Love, Hope, Strength through them. I got to see a lot of amazing acts, get people signed up. And then, but then when they started PRSL and then I moved back here, the amount of events is proportional to what they could travel to. And then they had last year, a chapters in Wisconsin with Kirk and Stacy that they really set the bar for starting a regional one so that Rob and Tina didn't have to be at every single event.
So that's awesome. You guys have Rob and Tina doing the national stuff. You have, some of these more localized chapters kind of popping up and stuff. You guys are available for, you specifically are available, for example, 561 Music Festival or something like that. If you were available that day, that would 100%. Be something that you'd be able to do.
Sure.
But just a crazy idea, but what if a band wanted to, a band based out of here, for example, us, and we were going to go on a 2-week tour and we were going to tour the Southeast, do a couple of states or whatever.
Yeah.
How does a band, if they want to have, not necessarily you guys in particular, but someone from your organization at each one of these stops or each one of these shows, is that something that's able to be coordinated through?
There's actual, regional and national tours that are coordinated all the time.
Okay.
And it's as easy as reaching out to, say for you guys, for instance, reaching out to our chapter, letting us know where you guys are going to be at. And we'll plug you in with those other chapters and, sending out that information.
And one of the things try not to do as chapters with national, make sure we're not bugging bands on multiple fronts.
Once
interest has been initiated, then we could communicate that to yes, we would love to be on every leg of this tour, which Rob and Tina have done that they've done Municipal Waste and Bowling for Soup. They've done that tour schedule.
I understand what you mean though about not wanting to bug them, because it's at the end of the day, what you're doing speaks for itself, and as soon as anyone figures that out, it doesn't need selling. It's 100% positive thing.
You would hope so. And I think that's been our experience so far. As we introduce ourselves as exactly what we're doing, 9 out of 10 people, you know, we're thankful for that, are on board. You know, yeah. Is, you know, just...
I can't see any reason why it wouldn't be. It just makes perfect sense, really.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, I've had conversations with, you know, some bands as well, and, you know, bigger national bands and things like that, about us setting up things at shows, and have been flat out told, yeah, you know, we're not interested, or yeah, we don't set up charities for our events, which doesn't bother me so much. You know, it's your band, it's your event, and you handle that any way you see fit. But if we can ever revisit that in the future, you know, because it's not so much, you know, I'm a firm believer in mutually beneficial, you know, relationships, and really building that sense of community and keeping in those guidelines of community. So if there's something that, you know,
it's
not only we can do for ourselves to promote PRSL, but if we can do something for you guys too, and you guys are joining us in this fight against blood cancer and you know, harm reduction and reducing those kinds of things, and, you know,
it's a little naive of me to think that that everyone would say yes. Of course not. You know, some people just want it to be clean and all about the money, and, you know,
no, for sure,
it
is what it is. You know, I mean, I'm sure you see that, you know, with you know, different bands or with promoters and things like that that you work with, you know, where it's just not your ethos aren't kind of lined up with each other, and it's just not going to gel, and that's okay.
Yeah, totally,
you know? That's okay.
What about, like, you know, you guys are talking about some of the chapters or Tina and those guys are doing, you know, these national tours and things.
Sure.
You guys are doing a lot of more of the localized stuff down here. But what about, like, I mean, have you, I'm sure you've given thought to, but, like, just bigger events, like, for example, setting up at Sunfest for 3 days or four days or whatever at Sunfest, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We've had a really good relationship with Brouhaha Productions that did NoFX, does all the, like, the beer festivals out in the West Coast.
Nice.
Punk Rock Saves Lives is going to be at all the Punk and Drublix. I'm going to be going to Texas next month to help out with that.
That's awesome.
And so,
really great.
Hopefully
really
some other productions like that, us getting on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we were on all our chapters. We're on the national tour that just passed with Bowling for Soup and Lit and Dolly Rots. We were on the Fort Lauderdale. That was our first official event as a chapter. Yeah. Our baptism by fire. Jarrett from Bowling for Soup is on the board of directors for Punk Rock Saves Lives.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was, yeah.
Another truth about punk is that, like, it's like as much as it is a place that can be a wonderful community, you know, at its best, at its worst, it can get a little bit grotty, which is why something like this is in the punk scene is a very good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like there aren't problems, you know, associated with it as well, and, you know, which I know about all too well, you know, from bitter experience. But I think that, you know, would you need something like this at, like, I don't know, like some kind of, like, afternoon bluegrass gig for old people? No, but in the punk scene, it's fantastic. You know what I mean? Yeah,
Those same we keep talking about, you know, substance abuse and, you know, the different things like that. That serves a lot of different communities. You know, it's not just, at least for me, and I'm sure Cody feels the same way. You know, it's in, you know, the metal community, and it's in, you know, it's in any kind of EDM. You know, I mean, there's, you know, thoughts of, you know, we would love to set up at, you know, like Ultra or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and how there big are awesome of a need organizations that do
would
that,
stuff
way,
like that be at Ultra?
Yeah.
You know, for stuff like that, you know, and for those, you know, other kind of events too, like Sunfest and, you know, there's, you know, other things that are in the works, other, you know, major festivals that are coming up that we're in the processes of, talking about.
So, so when we started out this, and at the risk of seeming like I wasn't paying attention, which I absolutely was, you did say that there was three focuses, and we've talked about the DKMS registry and stuff. We've talked about the harm reduction box.
Right.
What was the third focus?
Mental health.
Mental health.
That was it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, like, at the, you know, hey, the 22nd hug at the booth. or just, hey, do you need a second kind of thing, especially at these larger events that are overwhelming.
Yeah.
Being there for that.
Can but I just I'll... volunteer to give people hugs?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Dude, 100%. I'm so down.
I mean, you know, that's like, that's why we send people towards, I mean, towards the .org, towards the website to volunteer at different events.
Middle-aged you know. Guy giving random people hugs? That's, no, listen, that's not weird. So,
sometimes you just need
you have
a hug.
Sign like, they want totally it fine. And they're consenting.
You know? Yeah, right. Like, you know, if I'm not having a great night and a middle-aged bearded man wants to give me a hug, I'm probably going to take you
I
up
be
on
honest
the hug.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Like, sometimes yeah, I show up to a gig and Ben will just like he just sees it on my face and he just walks up to me and he just gives me a hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it happens here too. Sometimes I walk in here in a grouchy mood and Justin gives me a hug. Yeah. So like it happens.
And it works, doesn't it?
Helps,
and it works.
That dopamine,
it's not
weird.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
So when I was in Southern California, I had a great job with the hospital for, it was going on 10 years, and then I got let go. And right. that broke me because I was so used to the lifestyle, the sure. the validation of like having the badge that can go into like 20 emergency departments throughout sure. the West Coast. And then like that broke me mentally, and this organization and the Facebook group and the Instagram, just being able to like reach out anonymously, just kind of like the connections have severely helped me. We've gotten some great groups of just, hey, checking in on bros, like, well, yeah, you know, and not being gender specific, but like having those, sure. like, hey, I would rather you tell me like you're at this low and then let's talk about it and brainstorm than to not hear about it and then no longer, you know, see you again.
Like, yeah, and I can see being a part of a group like this not only being good for the people you help, but also being like, you know, a support network.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
in and of itself.
I mean, really, it's my own, you know, my own source of therapy for myself and sure. my PTSD from, you know, 10 yeah. years of military service and 2 combat tours and, you know, being at Fort Hood, Texas, when the shooting happened, you know, the terrorist attack on, yeah. on Fort Hood a few years yeah. ago, I yeah. actually knew, you know, if you're familiar with that, I mm-hmm. knew the doctor right. personally that, you know, that did, you know, did yeah, the sorry, shooting, man. You know, met the president and all this
crazy.
Stuff. You know, and that led me towards, you know, all my substance abuse problems, which I had shared sure. with, you know, sure. the overprescription of opioid medication
sure, yeah.
and, you know, drinking way too much and ruining my first, you know, my first marriage and almost ruining the relationship with my kids at that point.
Yeah.
And then really diving back in to community service and using community service for myself as a way yeah. to wean myself off of all of those things. So if it you know, yeah. doing this kind of work has saved me
yeah.
from
yeah.
myself.
You know, that's and it's an it's an AA thing as well as that, you know, oh, like yeah. service, yeah. you know, it's a, yeah. that I don't know what route you went with all of that stuff, but it's something I have to keep in mind as well, because, you know, if you're helping someone else, it just keeps your ducks in a row.
It keeps
reminds
you focused.
Why you're doing it,
yeah, yeah. It keeps you focused. It keeps you on the right path. You know, my dad himself is I think he's on his he just got his 13-year
yeah, nice.
Chip, you know, and he's, you know, been a completely different,
yeah.
you know, different person since, you know, you know, finally, you know, getting away from that demon in the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And, you know, just seeing, you know, cool seeing him make that change mm-hmm. and seeing other friends of ours that we've seen being able to make that change
yeah.
and come
yeah.
out of that addiction and then be able to give back to the community as well. You know, it's self-serving in a lot of ways, but in a good
yeah.
way, to be
yeah.
able to, you know, give back to the community, and it makes yourself feel
100%.
Better.
100%. I don't think it's
better.
Anything to be ashamed of either. It's
yeah, yeah, yeah,
in the
yeah.
in the sense that you can only look after other people if you're looking after yourself first.
Sure,
and you
sure.
can look after yourself by looking after other
sure.
people.
Right.
Rising
you know?
Tide
right.
lifts
right.
all boats.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, absolutely.
His story when he was telling me about Fort Hood, the one part that really stuck with me was the shooter was the guy that soldiers went to with all their PTSD,
yeah.
with all these deployments, like the one to support everyone, the one to do everything,
yeah.
like, and then that, like that cup that we have until we reach our breaking point and it overflows, and then
yeah.
that happened, and that's too often and too sad to think that someone yeah. of that reached that level
and, you know,
and trying to find a way to kind of lit that water off before it overflows.
Having those resources and stuff, though, or like, you know, as far as mental health and stuff is concerned, like that's huge. And I'm talking both extremes. I'm talking to people, you know, like really have severe mental health issues and really need a lot of help, down to just, you know, the people that are going through something at the time. You know, I had a similar situation back in 2014. I was an art director at a corporate company. I was making six figures. I was on top of the world. Like, life was good. And we got bought out by somebody. I had been there for 10 years as well. We got bought out by somebody. That somebody came in and said, hey, your job's redundant.
Clean that house.
You're out.
Goodbye.
And that was it. It was literally the day I was going on vacation with my kids. We were taking my wife and my kids and stuff. We were all going on this Disney cruise. And so my wife's like, well, you can't do anything about it. So, you know, let's have fun on the cruise. But as you can imagine, the next 5 days on the cruise, I was miserable.
That is not in your personality. You don't have that card in your personality to not think about it.
I don't. Yeah. And so it was the same thing. I mean, I went through, I knew Justin at the time and stuff. You know, I think probably knew each other for maybe a year or something like that. But so he'll tell you about it. I went through a lot that I was just like, you know, self-worth issues. I went through a lot of, you know, like, this sucks, you know, like I'm, you know, not to be, you know, very, misogynistic or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, but I was raised old school. I was raised old school that, you know, as a man, I'm supposed to care for my family and provide, and et cetera.
Right.
And so it was a very hard shift. I ended up becoming, absolutely love and worship the ground my wife walks on, or the ground she walks on, rather. It just, she's the one who came to me and said, you know, you don't have to make six figures. You can do what you love and you can enjoy your life and you can whatever. And I became a full-time artist. And I mean, I've been, you know, go since. I don't stop for a second, but I've been doing this now for 10 years.
Right.
And I'm not in a corporate company and I'm not making six figures, you know. But I said something to Ben the other, like, I absolutely love my life. Like,
you're probably the happiest that you've ever been.
The more I think about it lately, like, you know, I still have my struggles, you know, and stuff, but I am the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he's recently come to that conclusion is now you're the happiest because you're like, oh yeah, I get to do this all the time.
I look back on a lot of this stuff and go, I was happy. I didn't realize I was happy. Yeah. I was focusing on all the negative. But again, that comes back to the mental health stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was just focusing on the negative and there was nobody to, you know, at the time I didn't have anybody to go to that was going through it that could talk to me about it, you know?
Yeah.
I did a street painting a couple weekends ago with James, our banjo player, and we were sitting there, and I was joking around. I was like, man, you know, like, I'm playing music this weekend. I'm doing art. You know, I'm hanging out with all my friends. You know, I have friends from all over the world that are artists that come to these festivals that I paint with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm seeing all my friends. Like, I really love my life. And then it kind of like you said, it was a realization that I had come to just recently. But I think the one that just tipped me over the edge was, there was one of my artist friends that said something about, oh man, you know, I can't wait till I retire. I was joking and I said, yeah, I'm already retired.
Right.
And she goes, what are you talking about? You're the hardest working person I know. You're like, go, go, go. Like, you get 3 hours of sleep a night. You're 7 days a week. Like, you don't ever stop. And I said, right. But what's retirement to you? She says, well, I mean, I get to quit my job and I get to do art and I get to do all the things I love. And I'm like, okay, so I don't have a job. I do art. I do music and I hang out with my friends.
Hello.
I'm retired. I happen to make money at it.
I'm chilling.
But I'm retired.
Yeah, you're having a great time right now.
I'm enjoying my life.
I'm having a great time right now. Right.
Totally. Right. You found balance too, that's so, our internal monologue is usually the harshest. Especially for,
of course, yeah.
I love talented, humble people, by the way. Like, I can all be conceited and whatever, but I think we all should be humble, but like had a great month, events, doing things, and then went through a lull just because I was in my own head.
Oh, I get
the validation from other people,
saying,
hey, thank you for this, thank you for that. Yeah. And like, but still just in like, hey, I'm not, I could be better, I should do better. Yeah. Like, and learn to be kind to yourself along the way. Yeah.
I just had an exchange, a text exchange today with a friend of mine, a musician friend of mine. And I was saying something and she's like, dude, get out of your own head. And I, of course, had to reply with you first.
Right. Humor. Right. Like, hey.
Well, you know, we're always our own worst critic, you know? Yeah. And I think like, and this is up to 6 months ago, You know, I've been 6 months off of my mental health prescribed medications and things like that, everything that I had for PTSD. And it's specifically, I'm so happy with just that clarity. And, you know, specifically because of the work that we've really been doing for Punk Rock Saves Lives. And you know, that sense of finally being able to give back to the community again in a very meaningful, positive way and getting really meaningful, positive feedback. I don't need those meds anymore because this is now my therapy. This nonprofit work is my therapy.
I love it.
Just seeing like great your music artwork along is like now your therapy. Your music you make is your therapy now.
100%. And
it's just powerful.
Ultimately, a lot of the physical ailments that you treating with your box you have there,
sure,
like, you know, can be prevented if at the source, which is like good mental health.
Yeah, you know right, I mean? Right. You know, which is why, you know, we always direct people straight back to the .org. I mean, there's, you know, long list of resources on there, everywhere from, you know, phone numbers that you can call for mental health, different, you know, techniques for mental health, you know, like box breathing. You know, we do box breathing at tables and, you know, for anything that people need them, you know, counting out five things that you see, any kind of mental health, you know, awareness type things that'll help that person that's going through something kind of calm down a little bit. Maybe you're at a 10 right now and you're freaking out. If we can get you down to like a 7 or an 8 where you're a little bit more comfortable, then we won.
Yeah.
You know, we won. If we go to an event and we can sign up just one person for the bone marrow registry, that's one potential life that we can save. We won.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We won. Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's
plus, you get to go to shows. Feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and we get to go to shows. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's not a bad gig.
There's
right?
a selfishness along that because we get to see good music and, 100%. Along the way.
We get to see good music. We, you know, get to hang out with our friends. We're, you know, we're having a good time. We're
not,
you know,
therapy,
every time we set up tables, we're not like, you know, I'm not a big, you know, drinker at all. I have a beer every now and then, but we're not drinking at tables whenever we're set up at an official capacity. And, you know, it's just having a good time and spreading good vibes and, you know, hanging out with our friends, seeing good music, and you know,
the mental health techniques like you were talking about, you know, if you're at a 10 and trying to bring somebody down, or 7 or whatever, I go through moments of anxiety. I'm not ashamed to say I take medication for it.
That's fine.
A lot of us do. And so, I take meds for anxiety and stuff. And even with my meds, every once in a while, I get into a situation where like I'm super anxious. And sometimes I know what the root of that is. And sometimes I'm just anxious for the sake of being anxious. And I don't know what it is. A friend of mine that I work with, I started flipping houses recently. And this guy that I'm doing that with is an older gentleman. I was having this conversation with him about it and he brought up something like that. Here I'm taking the meds and I'm trying to do it. And he's like, have you tried meditation?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I've never. So he taught me some real basic meditation things.
He did.
I got to tell you, like, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I haven't slept so good.
It's surprising as how I've well had it works, the last 2 weeks.
Because it's usually at night when I have a lot of stuff racing through my head that I start getting anxious about the next day or something. And I start doing these self-meditation things that he taught me and like I'm out like a light and then I sleep like 6 hours, 7 hours, which is huge for me.
That's really interesting, man. You got to tell me about this later.
That's really cool. It's really wild.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting when you actually take those kind of meditation practices and things like that seriously. Cause like there's stigmas around everything, right?
Sure.
So when somebody tells you, oh, I meditate, a lot of people go, like, oh, meditate? Hippie, like, that's weird. Like, I'm not going to sit with you, like, you know.
Yeah.
Try it one time.
No, that's exactly right.
Try it one time. No, whatever, whatever works, you know what I mean? But try it one time.
That investment.
You'd really be surprised at that's how what much it was. Time
you're getting so much from that. That 5 minutes just to do that, to, like, and then reset your central nervous system. Yeah. Like, and
you really take those kind of practices seriously.
Well, I'll tell you, like you're saying, I've had people talk to me about meditation before, and I think when I was talking to him, I was actually having a moment that day, and he could tell. He could tell I was stressed out about a few things about the house we were flipping, and he was like, "Have you tried meditation?" I'm like, "It's not for me, whatever."
Yeah.
But he explained it a little bit differently to me.
Right.
He wasn't like, "Oh, just meditate and everything melts away." You know, he made it seem like, not made it seem. He explained to me, he's like, you know, if you have a cold, for example, and you take cold medication, it it kind of, you know, it helps those symptoms.
Yeah, he demystified some of those symptoms.
Right. He's like, you know, it basically, you know, the cold medicine helps take those toxins out of your body that are causing the cold, you know, the virus or whatever it is. And so he kind of demystified it, like you said, where he's like, you know, when you're stressing out like that, you know, your brain is just releasing these toxins and it has all this crazy stuff going on. And the meditation is basically releasing those toxins from your brain and making you, you know, just relax.
Sure.
And so that very first time he showed me what to do, he told me what to do. I was at this house where we were living. It's crazy, but I walked into a closet.
Yeah.
I closed the door. In the dark, I sat down in the corner and I just meditated for five. I set a timer, 5 minutes. He said, just give it 5 minutes. Yeah. Give it 5 minutes. And I walked out of there so refreshed that I'm like, sold.
Yeah. This is fine.
Yeah.
This is fine.
You're going to sell that house when you first started. This is the meditative closet.
Meditation room. Yeah, meditation room. You know, it just jumped $30,000 on that house.
When you first said, "Oh, you try meditation," you're like, "I'm not thinking about meditation right now. I'm trying to order cabinets and floor. I'm worried about prices on these freaking countertops
right now. I don't have time to breathe for five minutes. I was like, it seemed like every time we were about to fix something, like four other things, I was like, you know, I got a little patch of drywall, and I'd peel it away and go, wow, there's mold there.
It was just crazy.
So I was really stressing out. Yeah. But yeah, it was crazy.
I tell you what, man, for a man who suffers from occasional anxiety, you certainly. It's not like you don't ask for it.
You're right.
Flipping houses.
Flipping houses. I'm an artist. I do.
You become a professional poker player.
Real estate photography.
So you're bringing it upon yourself a little bit sometimes. But, you know, what are you going to do? Bills don't pay themselves.
We've talked about this before. If I wake up in the morning and I don't have anything like to do that day,
right.
That gives me anxiety because I'm like, life is short. How am I not doing something
today?
That's
a problem. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those are some of my worst moments is that when I've been going nonstop working shows and then I have a lull. The most scary thing is your thoughts.
100%.
Those meditative moments. And then, you know, getting sleep, working out. Like eating well. I know it's cliche.
You lost me at working out, man.
Yeah.
All those things add to you investing the time in yourself.
Before we wrap this up, is there anything you would like to say that, you know, any other messages other than what we've already talked about?
You know, I think myself and I know Cody can attest to this as well. I think our main want to start a chapter and be a part of Punk Rock Saves Lives, you know, on the local level here is our love for the community that we've had here of our like-minded friends for years and years and years and years, and to kind of build back, not so much build back that community that we remember, but to add to the community that exists right now. There's a lot of people that say, oh, you know, all these venues close and all these different venues, you know, and the scene is not the same. That if you go out to a couple of local shows, you see that it's very much the same. Plenty of punks that care about each other, that care about their community, that really care about making a difference or going out into homeless communities and giving out, you know, sleeping bags and sweaters or just hanging out at a show and talking to you about your day and things like that. You know, so that sense of community and fostering that sense of community again is something that keeps me going. It keeps me excited about, you know, this mission.
That's awesome.
Everyone winning. Like Rebel Recovery gave us a whole bunch of Narcan. Rimini Alliance giving us the Naxalone and the pregnancy stuff.
Giving us the means.
Everyone winning, the bands, being there because they're having us. Like, at least we could do if someone needs something to carry it in. Just the small things just to improve our scene and our existence.
Working together.
Working together sharing people's shows and you know, spamming social media with shows and things. You know, go check out this buddy's band because we know that they're good people. We know that the crowds that they bring or their fans are also good people. And we know that you're going to have a good time. If you're going through something, go to this show.
You'll
feel better. Go hang out with these people. You're going to feel better.
When I first started talking to you at the beginning of this episode, something came over me where I almost burst into tears. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm super impressed by the whole thing. And I hope I see you at every show I go to.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Like-minded individuals, you know, punks that give a fuck. That's why we're all here. You know?
Absolutely.
That's why we're all here.
Love it, man. Yeah. Love it.
While we're up here, why don't you talk a little bit about 561 Festival we got coming up?
Yeah, man. Yeah, 561 Music Festival, guys. It's March 30th at Matthews Brewing Company. You can get your tickets at 561musicfest.com. The lineup is as follows, in no particular order: Blab Scam, Young Fiction, Killbillies, 33 Lions, Little Things Duo, Suicide Bombers, At the Starlight, Exigen Band, Mad Mellow Music, Bear Maze, Killed by Florida, Butch and the Fat Dubes, Bitter Blue Jays, Zoo Peculiar, Mount Sinai, Andy Styron, The Smoke Boss Militia, Billy Doom is Dead, Brayton, and Ambush. Of course, none of this could be possible without our awesome, amazing sponsors, Oasis Root and Kava Bar, Live Music Community, Galliano Family Salon, Raincat Recording Studios, The Shirt Series, Backsaver Chiropractic, Law Offices of Steiger Green and Finer, Matthews Brewing, and Pure Honey. Every one of these guys have all stepped up to help us do what we do. It's going to be 20 bands, two stages, $10 either at the door or in advance. Obviously, you know, in advance is way better because then Ben and I don't get that anxiety we were talking about not making enough money to pay for everything. But you can also do in advance. The nice thing about getting it in advance, 561musicfest.com, is you at the door, your only option is a ticket at the door for $10 and then a t-shirt for $25. If you buy it in advance, you can buy the t-shirt ticket combo. We call it a VIP ticket, I think. And it's $25 and you get a t-shirt and a ticket. So you just give us your size and we'll have a t-shirt waiting for you. You can't beat that.
Nope. So, you will be a very important person.
Yeah. So there is a lot of great music. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic day. If you like, you know, breweries and beers and stuff, Matthews is the place to be.
With permission, I would like to add a realization that we just had. March 30th.
Yeah.
Is I had my dates wrong. We're actually available on March 30th. Thanks to Cody for being here. See us March 30th at Matthews Brewery for 561 Fest.
That's awesome.
561 Music Fest.
Wicked.
I'm excited at that, man. I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're very, very, very stoked to be a part of that. Yeah.
If you want to see these four beautiful faces, come to 561 Fest on March
30th. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
See you later, guys.
See you later.
Big fan of you all. Check it out. It's what we're doing. Come and check it out. It's what we're all about.